Welcome to a reading of Lesson 6, the New Testament, in virtualbibleacademy.org's Disciple Making 1, Abiding in His Word. It's from the study book, pages 81 through 97. I'm John Morris, and as much as possible, I'll simply be reading the content of this lesson. However, like the previous two lessons, some pages, charts, diagrams, and maps will require some creativity on my part. Follow along in the study book if you'd like to, or just listen. Either way is fine. Page 81, Lesson 6, The New Testament, Beyond the Gospels. Acts 1:8, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. At the ascension in Acts 1, Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that they would be witnesses, starting where they were in Jerusalem, then expanding into the surrounding areas of Judea and Samaria, and then to the remotest part of the earth. They did receive power at Pentecost, Acts 2, and they became witnesses. The rest of the book of Acts recorded the expansion of their ministry into Jerusalem, then into Judea and Samaria, and then into the Gentile world, and eventually to Rome. Peter and the other apostles began in Jerusalem, and the church grew by large numbers. But intense persecution, beginning at the stoning of Stephen, drove the early church into Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus and Peter's vision opened the door for expansion to the Gentiles, and eventually even into the remotest part of the earth. And the Apostle James was executed. The first missionary journey took Paul and Barnabas from Antioch through Southeast Asia Minor. After this trip, they and Peter attended the Jerusalem Council that recognized that Gentile new believers did not have to be circumcised to be saved. The second missionary journey took Paul and Silas from Antioch into Macedonia and Greece, and they were accompanied by Luke and Timothy. Because of a disagreement with Paul, Barnabas took John Mark on their own mission trip to the island of Cyprus. The third missionary journey took Paul and his companions from Antioch through Western Asia Minor. At the end of that trip, they returned to Jerusalem. Paul was arrested there and held in Caesarea. That gave Paul an opportunity to give the gospel to governors Felix and Festus and to King Agrippa. Appealing his case to Caesar, Paul was sent, he set sail as a prisoner to Rome on his fourth missionary journey. He was shipwrecked along the way, giving him an opportunity to minister on the island of Malta. During his first Roman imprisonment, Paul ministered to many people while under house arrest for 2 years. He was released and revisited the churches. Then Paul was arrested a second time and held in a Roman prison. Then Paul was executed. After Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, the Apostle John moved to Ephesus and then was exiled to Patmos, where he wrote Revelation. The 27 books of the New Testament, 5, 9, 4, 9. 5-9-4-9. The New Testament books are arranged in an easily understood order. There are 5 books of history, the Gospels and Acts, then 9 letters from Paul to groups, then 4 letters from Paul to individuals, and finally, 9 books by other writers, 5-9-4-9. 5 books of history. The first 4 New Testament books deal with the life of Jesus Christ. And then Luke's gospel, his account, is continued in the book of Acts. This 5th book of history records what Jesus continued to do through his followers after the ascension. Then there's 9 letters from Paul to groups. Paul wrote 9 letters to new churches to encourage, teach, and correct them. During his missionary trips, he wrote Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. After these trips, during his first Roman imprisonment, he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. These 9 books are titled according to the recipients of the letters. Then four letters from Paul to individuals. Paul wrote four letters to individuals. During his first imprisonment in Rome, he wrote to Philemon, a brother in the Colossian church. After Paul's release, he wrote to two church leaders, to Timothy in Ephesus, and then to Titus in Crete. Then during his final Roman imprisonment, just before his death, Paul wrote his last letter to Timothy. These four books are titled according to the recipients of the letters. And finally, nine books by other writers. James, a half-brother of Jesus, and an unidentified author of Hebrews, each wrote a letter to Jewish believers. The seven remaining books include two by the Apostle Peter, three by the Apostle John, one by Jude, half-brother of Jesus, and the Apostle John's prophetic revelation of Jesus Christ. Page 83 just gives a picture of that organization, 5949, five history books, nine of Paul's letters to groups, four Paul's letters to individuals, and then nine books by other writers. That's 27 total books of the New Testament. So look at page 84 if you're following along. It's the book of Acts, an outline of New Testament history. The author, Luke was a Gentile, a Greek, a doctor, historian of the early church, and missionary. He was Paul's companion from as early as the second missionary journey and as late as Paul's second Roman imprisonment. Luke wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else did, if we assume that Paul did not write Hebrews. The book of Acts is a continuation of Luke's gospel and a record of the apostles' obedience to the Great Commission. After Christ's ascension in Acts 1 and the Holy Spirit's arrival at Pentecost in Acts 2, the apostles went into action. Acts 2 through 7 records their ministry in Jerusalem, where thousands believed in Jesus. Persecution, beginning with the stoning of Stephen, forced the early Christians out of Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. It's very interesting to read Acts 1:8 and then read Acts 8:1, reversing the numbers. Do that sometime. Compare Acts 1:8 to Acts 8:1. The oppressor Paul, Saul, was converted on the road to Damascus, and the door began to open to take the gospel to the remotest part of the earth. Peter's vision opened the apostle's heart towards taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Saul became the great apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. In addition, the apostle James was killed. Paul's first missionary journey took him and Barnabas through Southeast Asia Minor. A dispute among the Gentile converts arose, and Paul and Barnabas attended a council with Peter in Jerusalem to resolve the problem. The truth was recognized that new Gentile believers did not have to be circumcised to be saved, and that heresy was avoided. Paul and Silas left Antioch for the second missionary journey into Macedonia and Greece. Luke and Timothy were with them. Barnabas and John Mark split off from them at the beginning of the trip to take the gospel to the island of Cyprus. Paul's third missionary journey took him and his companions through Western Asia Minor. Then they went back to Jerusalem. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and then confined at Caesarea. Confined there, he told the gospel to governors Felix and Festus and to King Agrippa. Paul exercised his right as a Roman citizen to appeal his case to Caesar. That set his course for Rome, which was his fourth missionary journey. And on his way to Rome, he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, giving him an opportunity to minister there. Finally in Rome, he was under house arrest in his own rented quarters for 2 years. Large numbers of people came to him, and he told them of the kingdom of God and about Jesus, and some believed. Beyond the book of Acts, Paul was released again and ministered for a few years before he was put in a Roman prison. He apparently was executed in the mid to late 60s AD. The Apostle John's ministry continued beyond the other apostles. When Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, John moved on to Ephesus, where he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and after he was exiled to the island of Patmos, he wrote Revelation. Page 85 is an outline of the expansion of the early church. Jesus had said, Acts 1:8, "But you shall be my witnesses." The verse says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Acts 1 is the ascension. Jesus went up to heaven. Acts 2, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. Acts 3 to 6, the church went out into Jerusalem. Acts 7, Stephen gave his message and was martyred. Acts 8, the church went out into Judea and Samaria. It followed the verse, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." And then Paul was converted, Peter had a vision, James was killed. Then Paul's first missionary journey, the Jerusalem Circumcision Council, Paul's second missionary trip, Paul's third missionary journey, and Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, confined in Caesarea, and then his fourth missionary journey to Malta and Rome, completing the Acts 1:8 and even to the remotest part of the earth. That's page 85. Page 86 is a map, well, actually two maps, the first and second missionary journeys. You can just see those. The references are there, the dates are there, and the dotted lines with arrows show the actual journey that they took. An amazing number of miles traveled back there with limited transportation. Page 87 is the map, first, of the third missionary journey to West Asia Minor, and then the fourth missionary journey eventually to Rome. The dates are there, the places are there, the Bible references are there. Page 88 starts with Paul's letters to groups. The author, Saul of Tarsus, was a highly educated Jew, a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Roman citizen by birth. This persecutor of the early church was converted after his experience on the road to Damascus. And he was also known as Paul, his Greek name, from Acts 13:9 on. And he became a missionary to the Gentiles, and author of 13 books of the New Testament. He wrote Romans. He wrote this letter to all who are beloved of God in Rome. He wrote to them before he had actually visited their city. This letter was written from Corinth near the end of his third missionary journey in the mid-50s AD. The book of Romans is the most doctrinal and formal of Paul's letters. He wrote detailed foundational truth. He covered the subjects of sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, and service in that order. 1 Corinthians is a letter he wrote to the Church of God at Corinth. It was a church founded by Paul's second missionary journey. The church was struggling in the midst of that very immoral port city. And Paul wrote to them from Ephesus during his third missionary journey. The worldliness of Corinth had infiltrated their church. And Paul wrote about factions, sexual immorality, lawsuits, marriage, food, the Lord's Supper, and the use of spiritual gifts. Chapter 15 provides comprehensive teaching on the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. 2 Corinthians, apparently the believers in Corinth had not responded well to Paul's first letter, and he made a trip to see them, and he wrote another strong corrective letter to them. That letter is not included in the Bible, but following the repentance of the majority, Paul wrote another letter. We know it as 2 Corinthians. During his third missionary journey is when he wrote it, from somewhere in Macedonia. Paul wrote of his joy that they had repented. He defended his character and his ministry. He taught on giving and defended his authority as an apostle. Paul wrote to the Galatians, to the churches of Galatia. That's a region, not just one city. He had visited them on his first or second missionary journey. However, the date and location of the writing of this letter it's unclear. The believers in Galatia had been misled to mix the law, good works, into salvation. Paul strongly presented salvation by faith alone. He warned them against the dangers of legalism. He also warned against license, freedom to sin, as he explained, Christian liberty. Ephesians. This letter was sent to the saints who are at Ephesus. Paul had been there on both his first and third missionary journeys. He wrote this letter to them from his first Roman imprisonment in the early 60s AD. Paul described the believers' spiritual wealth, chosen, sealed, saved by grace, and united in one body of believers. Then he exhorted them to walk worthy of the heavenly calling and position given to them in the body of Christ. He described how to follow God in life, against sin, in the Spirit, at home, at work, and in the warfare. Philippians. Paul wrote to all the saints of Jesus Christ who are in Philippi. He had been to Philippi during his second missionary journey, and he wrote to them from his second Roman imprisonment in the mid-60s AD. Paul expressed his thankfulness for their consistent testimony and for their support of his ministry, and he encouraged them to be at peace, to be humble like Christ, to be on guard, and to rejoice. Colossians. Paul wrote to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Epaphras, a convert during Paul's ministry in Ephesus, brought Christianity to Colossae. Philemon was part of that church. This letter was written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment in the early 60s. He stressed the deity and supremacy of Christ to correct the hybridizing effect of false teaching, which had brought the bad influence of legalism, philosophy, and mysticism into the church. Paul wrote that Christ is supreme, and therefore believers should seek the things above and live accordingly. Continuing Paul's letters to groups, page 89, 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians, which was founded during his second missionary journey. Persecution had forced Paul to leave them, and he wrote from Corinth in the early 50s. Paul's personal comments about their ministry and about his own ministry, he gave examples of a walk worthy of the God who calls each believer. He exhorted them to withstand sexual temptation, to lead quiet lives, to work, to be at peace about the return of Christ, and to fulfill their duties toward spiritual leaders in conduct and in worship. 2 Thessalonians. Paul wrote this second letter to the church of the Thessalonians shortly after his first letter. He wrote it from Corinth in the early 50s. He encouraged them in growth and endurance under persecution. Some had misunderstood his teaching on the return of Christ and had ceased to work, thinking the day of the Lord had come. Paul wrote about the coming events of the last days, and he commanded them to work, if they expected to eat, working and waiting as they lived holy lives. And Paul wrote letters to individuals. Paul and people. Paul's letters followed a basic pattern. First, he presented personal concerns and greetings. Then he taught spiritual truth. Then he taught application of that truth. And he usually concluded with personal comments. Paul's commitment to God's truth was equaled by his concern for people. He would give the truth, then teach them to live the truth. Even in Romans, his most formal and doctrinal letter, he devoted an entire chapter, chapter 16, to personal greetings and concern. You see, Paul was committed to the three things in life that last forever: God, God's Word, and people. The four letters described in this section are specifically focused on his concern for Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Philemon's runaway slave, Onesimus. 1 Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy as his true child in the faith. Timothy was the son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother, and was associated with Paul from the second missionary journey. But Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to oversee the ministry there. This letter was written in the early 60s, after Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Paul instructed and encouraged Timothy to be a good leader. Many subjects are covered: prayer, women in the church, leaders, dangers, and defenses, the older men and women, widows, elders, masters and slaves, false teachers, and money. Paul exhorted Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this final letter in the mid to late 60s from his second imprisonment in Rome. He wrote it shortly before his death. This is an extremely personal letter from Paul to his beloved son, Timothy. Paul encouraged Timothy to be strong, to not be ashamed, to minister faithfully, to stand true in the coming apostasy, to do the work of an evangelist, and to fulfill his ministry. Titus. Paul wrote to Titus, his true child in a common faith. He wrote it in the mid-60s, after his first Roman imprisonment. He left Titus in Crete to set in order what remains and to appoint elders in every city. Paul encouraged Titus to carry out that task. Paul taught Titus about elders, about rebellious, empty-talking, deceiving men, and about older men, older women, younger women, and slaves. He wrote about subjection to governments, consideration for all men, false teachers, and salvation producing a people zealous for good works. And Philemon, Paul wrote this letter in the early 60s, during his first Roman imprisonment. It is Paul's personal plea to his friend Philemon in Colossae. The slave Onesimus had run away from his master Philemon. But Onesimus came to faith in Christ through Paul's ministry while Paul was in prison in Rome. And Paul sent the new believer back to his master with this personal plea for forgiveness of the slave who had become a beloved brother. Paul actually offered to repay anything that Onesimus owed. Page 90 documents some pivotal events in Paul's life. It gives his age and the references in the book of Acts, and actually some beyond there. He was at Stephen's stoning. He persecuted the early church. He was blinded on the road to Damascus, converted and healed. He was with the apostles in Jerusalem. When his life was threatened, they sent him off to Tarsus. And then there's a gap, several years, Galatians 1, 17 through chapter 2, verse 1. He was retrieved by Barnabas. He carried money to Jerusalem. He was commissioned in Antioch, then first, second, and third missionary journeys, an arrest in Rome, confinement in Caesarea. He sailed to Rome and shipwrecked on Malta, under house arrest in Rome, released a minister, then in a Roman prison, and finally, somewhere around age 70, executed by Nero. Page 91 begins the description of 9 books by other authors. 5 men authored the final 9 books of the New Testament. The identity of the author of Hebrews is unknown to us. It was probably not Paul, because the content is more Jewish than Paul's other letters, and because it uses a different vocabulary and is structurally different from Paul's writings. Hebrews was possibly written by Luke, Barnabas, or Silas. James, not the apostle, James and Jude were half-brothers of Jesus. Each wrote one letter. Peter, the fisherman-turned-disciple, authored 2 letters. John, the fisherman and the disciple whom Jesus loved, wrote 3 letters, and Revelation, the prophetic final book of the Bible. Hebrews. This letter was written to Jewish believers probably in the mid to late 60s. The author, location of writing, and original readers are unknown today. The theme is that of the superior Christ giving us a superior life in Christ. Jesus is presented as better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than Moses, better than Joshua, and better than the Levitical priests. And this eternal, superior priest made a superior sacrifice. And he gave us an eternal, superior life with him. James, this book was addressed to the 12 tribes, Jewish tribes, who are scattered abroad. It is an early New Testament book, probably written in the late 40s. James wrote practical instruction in everyday Christian living. He covered trials and temptations, being a doer of the word, not showing personal favoritism, and turning faith into works. He also gave instruction on the use of the tongue, using wisdom from above and not being worldly. James concluded his letter pointing out the power of prayer. 1 Peter and 2 Peter, these two letters, written in the mid-60s, deal with the difficulties and dangers facing Christians. External opposition to the body is explained in 1 Peter, and 2 Peter covers opposition from inside the body. In 1 Peter, he pointed out that salvation gives new hope in the face of outside persecution. He exhorted his readers to gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Peter continued with instruction in holiness, fear of God, love for one another, growth, submission, suffering, and service. In 2 Peter, he attacked the problem of internal opposition. He stressed the need for continued growth rooted in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. He wrote against false teachers, reminding the readers to expect them in the last days before the return of Jesus Christ. And Peter exhorted them to look for his promised return, the return of Jesus, and to be diligent to be found holy at his return. Page 92 continues the nine books by the other authors. 1 John, this book explains that believers can know that they have eternal life. John wrote that believers John wrote that believers should live in light rather than darkness, in forgiveness and obedience rather than sin, in love rather than hate, and in assurance rather than fear. John's letters were written around 90 AD, probably from Ephesus. 2 John is a short note to the chosen lady and her children, and exhorted them to love one another, obey God's commandments, and be on guard against false teachers, showing them no hospitality. 3 John is a note to John's friend Gaius. John commented on the good report that he had received about Gaius, and he also wrote a strong criticism of Diotrephes. Jude, this was written between mid-60s and late-70s. This short letter was a strong appeal to contend earnestly for the faith because of the dangers from false teachers. Jude wrote that they had crept in unnoticed in our hidden reefs. They're grumblers, lustful, arrogant, and flatterers for their own gain. Such false teachers should be expected in the last days. And Jude exhorted the believers to walk obediently. Revelation, John's final book, is the concluding book of the New Testament. He wrote it during his exile on the island of Patmos in the 90s AD. The outline of the book is Revelation 1:9, the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. Chapter 1 contains the things which you have seen. Then the things which are includes the letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. Then chapters 4 through 22 record the things which shall take place after these things. In these later chapters, John wrote about the throne and the book in heaven, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of judgment. These chapters describe the return of Christ, the millennium, the white throne judgment, and the new heaven and new earth. In the last verses of Revelation, the words of Jesus tell us, "Yes, I am coming quickly." And John added his amen and the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." Page 92 ends with a short paragraph about other books. No other religious books written today or in earlier times are God-breathed, as are the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments. No other religious writings, Christian or otherwise, are equal to the Bible or superior to the Bible. And any church or church leader who proclaims anything anything contrary to the Bible does not speak for God. Such people should take heed of this warning from Jesus. Here it is, Mark 7:6-8. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." Page 93 is a flowchart of the New Testament beyond the Gospels. The Ascension, Pentecost, their ministry in Jerusalem, Stephen being stoned, spreading into Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, Saul, Paul, converted, Peter's vision, the first missionary journey followed by the Jerusalem Council on circumcision, second and third missionary journeys, Paul's arrest in Jerusalem, Paul giving the gospel to governors Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa, the fourth missionary journey to Malta and Rome, Paul's being released to minister, imprisoned again and executed, Jerusalem destroyed, and John going on to Ephesus and then Patmos and recording the Revelation. Page 94, like previous lessons, this is a section on the review questions. So let's go right on to page 96 for the questions with the answers. And again, these are multiple choices. There's a list of choices given there on page 96. I'll just read the statements for them to be filled in. The book of Acts begins, this is number one, the book of Acts begins with the ascension. At that time, Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power. At that time, Jesus told his disciples that they would be witnesses. And Jesus said that they would do that starting in Jerusalem and then into Judea and Samaria and finally into the remotest part of the earth. Acts records the expansion of the gospel starting in Jerusalem and then into Judea and Samaria, and finally, to the remotest part of the earth. Page 97. Acts ends with Paul in rented quarters in Rome. Paul's first missionary journey went through Southeast Asia Minor. Peter and Paul settled an early conflict at the council in Jerusalem, where they discussed salvation and circumcision. Paul's second missionary journey went into Macedonia and Greece. Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. His third missionary journey went into West Asia Minor. Paul witnessed to governors Felix and Festus while under arrest in Caesarea. Paul was in prison twice in Rome. The Apostle John was exiled to the island of Patmos. And then the question number 20, the statement that you need to answer, it's not really tricky. It's just the one that's going to cause you to think the most. It's of the previous statements, 1 through 19, which one is out of chronological order? Which one is out of chronological order? I'm not going to answer that one for you. So page 97 concludes the reading of chapter 6, the New Testament, beyond the Gospels.